All right, we're going to turn to a couple places here to start this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we were just in Ecclesiastes here last Sunday night, I guess, but Ecclesiastes 3, Philippians 3. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. We did, and hopefully yours was safe. I haven't heard any differently. It's a blessing to have something to be thankful for, right? Amen? Blessing to have friends, family. Ecclesiastes 3, we're just going to read verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all his vanity. Now back to Philippians chapter 3. And go down to verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you for a chance to be here this morning. We pray you to bless the message. And we ask that you help it to minister to folks, Father, where they are. If somebody here is lost, we pray you deal with their hearts. But Father, may we Christians as well be reminded of very important things here, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you noticed in maybe both those passages something about one thing being emphasized. Now, I was thinking about this a little bit, and you know, men today like things kind of boiled down as simple as possible. In other words, you don't want to drive up to a drive-up window and say, just throw in the left hind quarter of a steer, grind it up and cook it, throw some cheese on top, then give me, say, enough fries to fill a shoebox and a barrel and a half of Pepsi. You don't want to go through all that trouble. You just say, give me a number 4 and supersize it. Right? Folks like things simple. We live in a techno-convenient society, and we kind of like things down, boiled down to blurbs and very short headline type things. Cooking. I know some of our young teenage guys cook a lot. And these days, cooking, if it's more complicated than, say, a toaster pastry, you're not interested. If you got to do more than open the package and throw it in the toaster, that's too complicated, right? And when it comes to the news, you want your news in 6 words or less. Sometimes I think folks read the Bible the same way. You say, well, I read my Bible today. Well, sometimes I think they just read the subtitles. But the fact of the matter is, folks, that, you know, there are folks that pay $300 to go for 1 hour to a financial seminar to have some filthy rich guy tell you his secret about how to get filthy rich, right? Boil it all down into 1 hour type, you know, 1 hour type seminar. And preferably what you want is just one thing. If the guy could boil it down to just one thing, that'd be best. If you ever reach 90 years old, I bet you get a lot of questions about, well, what's your secret for being so old? You know, I doubt he remembers. He's probably got senility, so probably doesn't remember. Ask a superstar athlete, is there one thing that you do? And there's not one thing that he does, because he does a lot of things, right? The guy that actually helped finance the church building here is a guy that is not related to this church other than just a Christian guy that wanted to help. His name is Malosh, and in the process of him getting set up to hold the contract for deed for the mortgage on our church, we got to ride around together and talk some. He's a good guy. He's a Christian guy. And he has obviously got some money. And so we were talking one time. He said, the only mistake that I ever made in business was in not buying every property that came available. He said, I used to be picky. I used to wait and look and see and make sure everything was in good shape or whatever. He said, the mistake was, and this was back, you know, 20 years ago. He said, the mistake was that I didn't buy everything that went on sale. I thought that was kind of cool. Somebody would say that. I don't know if that's your philosophy about, I think that's your philosophy about credit cards maybe, but maybe not your best philosophy in the world about business. You know, John Wayne was asked one time something about life. He said, life is tough He said, life is tougher if you're stupid. I like that one. One other guy said, never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. I like that one. The early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. How about eagles may soar, but weasels don't get sucked in the jet engines? Now, I don't know how you would synopsize life or anything like that, but I know this. Depending on the print of your Bible, how many notes you have in it and all that kind of stuff, your Bible is somewhere between 1,200 pages to 1,500 pages. And it is filled with details. And by the way, all those details come to pass, right? Here's what Joshua said. He said, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Ye know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. And so your Bible is filled with detail. And I know that folks are really careless with those details. And folks would like to have things boiled down. And it's just not possible to boil down, you know, a message from the Word of God down to one thing, right? I mean, it's not all about grace. Some folks say it's all about love. No, it's not all about love. It is not. But you know, there are several guys in the Word of God that are noteworthy for having pulled aside and said at one juncture or another, this one thing right here, this one thing to the audience of that day, this one thing. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about one thing. This, I suppose, would be a lesson not for somebody that knows the Bible really well, but sometimes things get out of perspective. Sometimes the folks of our day think that John 3:16 is all of the Bible there is. That is not true. So I want to talk to you about one thing. Now go back to Ecclesiastes 3 for a second. And again, this would be to the careless, unbelieving, agnostic type population of our day who know nothing about the Bible, even though they've had one on their coffee table forever, right? Ecclesiastes 3:19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Now, you know what, folks? Solomon said, one thing befalls man. Just one thing. Now, we know, the fact is, we know a lot of things befall men, right? I mean, men get chicken pox. They are befall, their oxen die. Their computers crash. They get cavities in their teeth. So there are a lot of things that befall men. Sometimes a bad mother-in-law befalls a man. Where's your humor today? Just relax. But the fact of the matter, more than one thing befalls men. But Solomon, the wisest man on earth of that day, said, for now, this one thing is what I want you guys to get. Now look, I know that Solomon had some problems. For instance, verse 19, there are some things in verse 19 that just aren't true. I told you last week, Sunday night, that Solomon was jilted in some of the conclusions he reached because of the life he was living, right? However, verse 19, where he says, a man hath no preeminence above a beast, that is not true. And a man does not die like a beast, because a dog dies, lies in the dust, and that's it. The man dies, his body goes to the dust, and he either goes to heaven or hell. So he doesn't die like a beast. However, there is one thing this wise man said that is true. He said, one thing befalleth them. As one dies, so dies the other. Now, folks, I'll tell you this. There is one thing that befalls man, and that one thing is death. Everybody dies. The wisest man on earth of his day said, whatever else you can say, there is one thing on my mind today, and that is the fact that every man will die. Right? Now look, folks, if that is true and somebody's not saved and never thought about death much, there's something that is true. That is the fact that that takes priority over everything else. You say, well, I got to pay my insurance and I got to work and I got to do this, I got to do that. Now I'll tell you what you better do. You better make sure you're ready to die. A man is not ready to live till he's ready to die. That has to take first priority above all everything else. And here is Solomon. He wrote all the Proverbs, so he has a lot to say. He has a lot of wisdom. There are lots of things he could have said. There's lots of things he did say. in Ecclesiastes, he said, there's just one thing I got to say. And that is that one thing befalls man. And that one thing is true. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is not news to any of us here, but it is appointed unto men once to die. After this is judgment, right? Whatever else can be said, I know that you understand this. Everybody here understands that you're going to die one day. But you know what? For a lot of folks in our society, that is not a reality at all. I bet the average young punk superstar in football that's drawing $5 million a year, I bet he doesn't think about it much. What do you think? I bet the average Joe that you work with doesn't think a lot about it. You know, a lot of those guys, they go through a lifetime. They go through their youth thinking they're indestructible. Then they go through their middle age trying to get young again. They never think about death till it's too late, just about, right? I mean, there are some awfully trapped people that show up at funerals sometimes. They have never thought about death. They don't want to be confronted by death. But one day when they have to go to grandma's funeral, all of a sudden, there it is before them, right? And they really don't want to think about it. Well, I want you to know something. You know, Mr. Malosh, I mentioned him. He said, my mistake, if I was to give somebody advice, and again, this was 20 years ago, he said, I would advise somebody, if they're investing in rental properties, to just buy everything that comes available. Now, you know what? If I had a bunch of money, I'd probably take Mr. Malosh's advice. If I were a mortal man, and I am, I would want to take Solomon's advice and understand that there's one thing that befalleth man. He's going to die. Right? There's something else I wanted you to see. Look in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. There are several of these folks, one of them obviously already, the wisest man on earth of his day anyway, and maybe of all time, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. There were several of these notable men in the Word of God that one day came to a crossroads and they said, look, there's just this one thing I have to say today. Solomon said, this one thing befalleth man. They all die. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, go down to verse 21, and this is the context of where the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with the rich young ruler. This guy asks in verse 17, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Going on down here, verse 21, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. He said, there is one thing lacking, right? Now, I want to say, before we go any further here, this occurred before Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, right? I want you to know, this is not the gospel of your salvation. You going and selling all that you have and giving it away, that is not the gospel of how you get saved, right? There was more written after this. I want you to understand that. And furthermore, I want you to know, this is not the only thing that Jesus Christ had to say. He said a lot of other things, but when it came to this guy, he looked this guy in the eye and said, there is one thing that you lack. Now, you know, I want to ask you if any of you are lacking in that one thing. Once again, we heard Solomon, the wisest man on earth of his day, say, this one thing happens to all men. In this case, Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, the Ancient of Days, says, hey, bud, you are lacking one thing, only one thing. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but when you think about hell, what do you think about? Well, I think about agony, right? Torment forever and ever. But I wonder if that's the first thing. I wonder if somebody, the average Joe, that shows up in heaven, I wonder if the first sentiment that crosses his mind is, boy, this hurts. Or I wonder if the first sentiment that crosses his mind is, where in the world am I? And why am I here? I tell you what I think. I think that hell is an awful, awful place. But I think the first sentiment experienced there is shock. It's astonishment. It's surprise at the fact that I'm here. You know, I think the same thing is true of judgment when folks get there. I think that there are going to be some folks that show up to the white throne judgment. I think they're going to be mad as they can be. I think they're going to be like a shopper at a customer service line, shows up all indignant and everything about, why have I been in that place for the last several years, and why do I show up now in these rags in this place having to answer to you? Why am I not in heaven? Why have I not gotten my wings, right? I think that surprise may be the one sentiment, the first sentiment of both hell and judgment. And you know, folks, I don't know what happens at judgment exactly. I suppose that that indignation of that sinner may slowly kind of fade off to befuddlement. And maybe as the Lord starts to explain some things, then they go into despair, right? But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that imagine what it would be like to show up in hell and then to learn at judgment that you've suffered. You realize that anybody that dies today and goes to hell will suffer 7 years in the Great Tribulation still in hell. There'll be 1,000 years in hell during the millennium before they ever show up to the white throne judgment. At least 1,007 years from this very hour. Ever think about that? Ever think about the fact that Pontius Pilate has now burned in hell for 2,000 years, will yet burn for another 7, and then another 1,000, then will come up to judgment, and then will be cast off into a lake of fire. And you know, I can't help but wonder at times if when somebody comes up, you know, out of hell and stands at the judgment when things are explained, I can't help but wonder what their reaction must be when they learn, as they reason with God and as God judges them, would they learn that they were just one thing short, and that that one thing will cost them eternity, forever and ever in agony. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about the fact that everybody has dreams. Suppose you went through life, and suppose you failed in everything. Suppose you failed in love, in marriage, in raising your kids. Suppose you failed in business. You never made any money. You never had any success. You failed with friends. You never kept friends. And that you were able to find out at the end of your life that the whole thing, the reason you failed in all that misery in life had to do with you failing in just one thing, just lacking one single little thing. I want you to know there's going to be a ton of people in hell. You know what they're going to learn at judgment? They're going to learn that they lacked one thing. And it's not going to be selling their goods to the poor. It's going to be the fact that they were not born again. Jesus Christ will look you in the eye and say, I want you to know you've already suffered 1,000+ years in hell. And I want you to know you're going to suffer now forever and ever and ever and ever the wrath of God in the lake of fire. But I want you to know the cause of it. Just one thing. Imagine that. One thing lacking. You must be born again. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Imagine showing up at the end of life lacking one thing. Imagine showing up in hell and at judgment just lacking one little thing. Something you could have taken care of in your heart, in the privacy of your own being. One thing. All right, there's something else I wanted you to see. Look in John 9. Look in John chapter 9. Just one thing. One thing befalls man. That is death. Says Solomon. One thing lacking, says the Lord Jesus Christ to this one fella. And that'll be the new birth for me and you. Look in John chapter 9. This guy is healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Pharisees don't like it very much. They proceed to rake him over the coals because of this. Chapter 9. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind, said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, that is Christ, is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he, Christ, be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now you know, folks, we've heard from Solomon, the wisest man on earth of his day till Christ came along. We've heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now going to, in a little while, we're going to hear some more from Paul. We're going to hear some more from Christ. We're going to hear some more from Peter. Now, this guy is different. This guy is a nobody. This guy is Jerry Joe Blow Jones on the street. Except his name was a little more Hebraic than that, I imagine. But you don't even know this guy's name, right? You don't know this guy's name. He says in verse 25, he said, look, there's some things that I don't know, but this one thing I know. I was blind, and now I see. Now, you know what, folks? This is more than about just eye blindness, right? Go down to verse 39, and I'll show you. John 9:39. Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we say, see, therefore your sin remaineth. So folks, this guy did get physically healed, right? But this whole issue was about sin. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that this guy, whatever else can be said, he's a nobody. He said, there's a lot of stuff I don't know, but what I do know is I can see. For your case and mine, he said, what I do know is I'm saved. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I do know this. I know I'm saved. Now, you know, here's how folks think about this. You know, the Bible says you were given the Word of God that you may know that you have eternal life, right? Only most folks don't think that way. When you walk up to the average guy on the street, you say, hey, can I ask you a question? Oh, sure. Do you think that Abraham and Moses are in heaven? Well, yeah, duh, right? The average guy on the street. You say, well, what do you think? Do you think Paul, you think Peter are in heaven? Well, duh, you must be a moron. Yeah, I think they're in heaven. Well, what do you think about the Pope? Well, yeah, he's in heaven. Well, okay, what about him? But what about Mother Teresa? Well, duh, yeah, you must be a moron because obviously Mother Teresa's in heaven. Okay, what about you? Well, I hope so. In other words, they'll proclaim that Moses and Abraham and Paul and Peter and even some folks that aren't going to heaven might be in heaven. They're sure of that, but when you ask them if they know they're going to heaven, well, they sure hope so, right? Now, my point is, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. He came to save you, and then He wrote you promises so you could know you were saved. And I want you to know this. There's one thing that's going to befall you. You are going to die. Outside of the rapture, you're going to die. And I'm going to tell you this too. There may be one thing lacking. There's going to be a lot of people that spend an eternity in hell because they're lacking one single thing. And I want you to know there's one thing that God wants you to know. He wants you to know that you're saved. You can know you're saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. That eternal life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know what? I know I'm saved. There's a lot I don't know. I really don't. You ask me to fix something electrical? I don't know. You know, if you want me to take the head gasket off of a car engine, forget it. I don't know where to start. I know, though, that I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? I would say when I was 10 years old, I haven't doubted my salvation for about 25 years. I got it squared away when I was about 20 or 22 years old or so, somewhere in there. I'm not sure how that arithmetic works out. But I got it fully squared away, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't had second thoughts about my salvation for about 20 years. And by that, what I mean is that whatever else is the case, I know that I have believed as much as I can believe. I know that I'm a failure in many ways. I know that I'm a sinner in many ways. But I have put my faith and trust in Christ, and I have promises. And you know what? I ain't worried about it. Are you worried about it? Do you know you're saved? Because this one thing I know, there's a lot of things I don't know, but there's one thing I know. I'm saved. I was blind, but now I see. Now, there's something else I wanted you to see here. Look in Philippians chapter 3 for a second. We've gotten through some things. We've gotten through the death, and we've gotten through what was lacking. We've gotten through some things that we know, and I want to talk to you about something else. Now, look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, let's get started with verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let me remind you, we've heard from Solomon, we've heard from Jesus Christ, then we heard from this nobody guy, right? Now we're back to hearing from Paul here. Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. If anybody should know some things, Paul should know some things, right? I mean, think about it this way. If Bill Gates announced today that, you know, all the time that I've been rich, for all my business secrets, everything that I've done, one single thing every day of my life, which I attribute my success to. If Bill Gates stood up that way and said, then you too can know, if you'll send me $300, I will send you a video with a 1 minute synopsis of what I've done every day of my life that's helped me succeed. I'll guarantee you there'd be people cutting off their right legs to try to get that information, right? Amen? So here you have the Apostle Paul, arguably the greatest Christian to ever live. He said, look, this one thing I do, I would think you'd be willing to cut your right leg off to follow what he says. Amen? Now, I want to say furthermore, he said, now look, it's just this one thing. Now, plainly, Paul did thousands of other things. You've got to do thousands of other things. You've got to pay taxes. You've got to go to the bathroom when you get up in the morning, right? You've got to go get breakfast when you get up in the morning. There's things you've got to do. You've got to do those things. But Paul boiled it down to this one thing is what's important, right? Now, back in verse 12, this lesson is for a Christian who fully understands that he's not what he's supposed to be. And Paul knew he was not what he was supposed to be. If you doubt me, go read Romans 6 and 7, right? Paul said, look, it's not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. You know you're not perfect. You recognize that you fail just about every day, right? Or maybe we should just say you recognize that you fail as a Christian every day, right? Well, that's what this is for. Look in verse 12. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This thing here is for somebody who is very familiar in the Christian life with failure, with falling, with messing up. And he says, this one thing I do. And Paul is just like a preacher. He says this one thing, then he names three. I don't know if you noticed that. He says, this one thing I do, I forget those things, I reach forth for these things, I press towards in these things. So he says, it's just this one thing, but then he gives you three things. So whatever. But again, he says, look, I just, when it boils down, guys, when it comes to success, failure, attainment, apprehension, I do this one thing. Now look, again, if Michael Jordan had showed up back in the late 80s and said, you know, I've done only one thing for my entire athletic career. Just one thing every day. Like, there are some guys that would cut off their right arms to find out what that one thing is, right? Again, Bill Gates or whoever else you look up to, you know, some computer geek, whatever. You know, he's done this one thing. He's been massively successful. But if you knew what that one secret was, you would follow it. Here Paul says, he said, look, I do this one thing. Verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, first of all, I forget. Now, you know what? We are terrible forgetters. As Christians, we are terrible forgetters. In that, I mean two different ways. You often forget what you should not. But then you know what? You don't forget that which you should. Paul said, look, I do this one thing. I forget, and then I reach forth. Now, reaching forth is not the same as reaching behind. Okay, he said, look, I forget, and then I let go of what's behind, and I reach for that which is before. And then he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what a press is? In basketball, a press is a defensive alignment where you go after the guys full force all over the court and you try to get the ball no matter they're trapped no matter what they do. But it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort. He said, sometimes you say, well, this is tough. Well, first of all, forgetting sometimes can be tough. Letting go of the past can be tough. But you have to press forward. It's very energetic. It's very zealous. You press forward. I think sometimes folks get forgiven, and they are willing to forget the past, but as far as pressing forward to the future, they don't do much pressing. It's not very energetic. You don't go after tomorrow spiritually the way you should. All right, so I want you to see that. I want you to see one more thing. Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. One thing. One thing befalls all men. It may be that one thing is lacking. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. Paul says, as a Christian, this one thing, this single one thing I do. I forget, I reach forth, I press for the prize, the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 10. Now we're back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has another bit of advice for you. Christ said in two different places, He said this one thing, this one thing. Look in Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this because Brother Peacock just dealt with this. Verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Now Jesus Christ said one thing is lacking to another guy, but he said this one thing is needful. Now I know that Jesus Christ said a lot of other things, right? A lot of other lessons, a lot of other words to be heeded. But at this juncture, he comes to a woman and he says, look, I'll tell you one thing, and only one thing is needful. And that one thing is found back in verse 39, Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now folks, again, there's a lot of things that are needful as far as, you know, basics, elemental things in life that you're not going to get away from. Again, if you're going to live, you need to breathe. If you're going to live very long, you're going to have to get up in the morning and go to the bathroom, right? You're going to have to eat. You're going to have to work to eat. You're going to have to pay bills. The United States government wants you to pay taxes. You're going to have to do that, right? But all those things take second seat to this thing. Only one thing is needful. You need to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and hear His word. Now, you know what? Somebody sitting at somebody's feet, first of all, that is a subservient position, right? Like I said, I'm not going to preach about this long because Brother Peacock did good service to this text, and I'm not going to go there again. But you understand sitting at somebody's feet is a subservient position, right? If you wanted to be above them, you would sit above them. You know, there are some offices you can go into where they want to intimidate you. And the office, the desk chair sits way high, and the boss is sitting up way high over this big, massive desk. He has this chair on the other side of the desk. It's a little short chair, and you go in and sit down so that when you sit down, you have to look up at him like this. So he can look down at you like that, right? Well, sitting down at somebody's feet is a subservient position. But also, somebody sitting at Jesus' feet is a very intimate position as well, right? I mean, you'll find sometimes that, you know, in a maybe at your Thanksgiving gathering, maybe guys were sitting around. Maybe the husband was sitting in a chair. A lot of times you'll find the wife comes and sits down, you know, at her husband's feet and with her back against his knees or something like that. Okay, that is a intimate position. In other words, I wouldn't want Brother Bob coming and sitting down in front of me with his knee back. I'm really not interested in that, you know. It's a little too intimate for me. I don't really want him to be subservient to me either, but it's a little too intimate. I just really am not comfortable with that. So it's an intimate, subservient position. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you need to sit at Jesus Christ's feet, and you need to hear His Word. That thing is needful. Jesus Christ said two things are needful. Make sure you don't lack the new birth. Make sure, after you're saved, that you sit at My feet and hear My Word. All right, look in 2 Peter chapter 3. After this, I'll be done. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I know there are 10,000 other things in the Word of God besides these things I've mentioned. I know that. The Bible is filled with the details. You should take heed to those details. I am saying, though, that several of these very wise men, Jesus Christ among them, Solomon among them, Paul, Peter, came to a point in their lives where they felt necessary to pass on to those that were reading them or listening to them, look, for today, there's this one thing I want you to know. Right? Well, this is the last thing. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Now, this is Simon Peter. Simon Peter, one time in the Word of God, says, look, I got this one thing to pass on. Paul said, I got this one thing to pass on. Solomon said one time, he said, I got this one thing to pass on. Jesus Christ said twice, he said, look, I got this one thing to pass on to you, and then one thing to pass on to you. Simon Peter says here, he said, look, I got one thing. Make sure you are not ignorant of this one thing. Now that one thing had to do with Jesus Christ coming again. Things have not continued all the way from the beginning since the creation without something happening. It's not going to go on and on and on. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to get us out of here, right? He's going to judge this world. There is something else, though. Notice verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and as a thousand years as one day. Now, folks, don't be ignorant of the second coming. Don't be one of those folks that Jesus Christ finds surprised when He finally shows up. He promised 2,000 years ago He was coming back. I think He can come back today, right? So don't be surprised. Don't be ignorant of the second coming of Christ. But also, don't be ignorant of the necessity of waiting. After all, this all starts back in verse 4. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That is not true. But He does say, look, don't be ignorant of this. If it bothers you how long you're having to wait, how long we have waited for Jesus Christ to come back. Remember this. Don't be ignorant of this. One day is with the Lord as a thousand years. A thousand years is one day. You know what that means? That means that 2 days ago, 2,000 years to the Lord, 2 days to the Lord, that 2 days ago, Jesus Christ died. 2 days. Less, really. Less than 2 days ago, Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. So, you and I say, we look at it like this. You say, whoa, man, we've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years. We've been waiting for Jesus Christ to come back for 2,000 years, 2 millennia. God's been waiting for 2 days. It was only the day before yesterday to Him that this happened. You know what that'll do? That should give you a new perspective on waiting. I mean, folks, have you ever had a prayer that was answered immediately? Have you ever had a situation where you prayed and God more or less immediately answered your prayer? Folks, do you know what a privilege that is? You have the God of the universe who for him one day is 1,000 years. And so, you know, you could live 1,000 years without having God answer a prayer. And to God, it would still be just one day ago that he promised you this thing. To imagine that you could pray and that God, in that very split second, would answer your prayers, a remarkable thing. But it is also a remarkable thing that you could wait, say, 20 or 30 or 40 years for an answer. You might get to wait another 10 years, 15 years, 20 years till Jesus comes again. And you know what happens when that happens? What that means when that happens is that God is perfectly on time. It was just 2 days ago. It was just 2 days ago that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. You know, it was just earlier this week that God created the heavens and the earth. 6,000 years ago, but only 6 days to Him. Right? Just last Monday, the Lord created the heavens and the earth to Him. So folks, your time is not His time. And that's why it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You need to be encouraged to be willing to wait on God, because you should not be discouraged by the fact that He takes time, a lot of your time, but none of His time to answer His prayer. Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank You this morning for Your goodness to us. We appreciate these things. There are a lot of these men, Father, of course, that we look up to. We love Jesus Christ, of course. We appreciate Solomon's wisdom in Proverbs and some in Ecclesiastes. We appreciate Paul and we appreciate Peter. Father, we pray that You will impress us with these things. Lord, may we take these one things to heart. May we use these things, Father, to be a springboard for our Christian lives. If there's anybody here that's never trusted You, Father, I pray You'll deal with them as only You can. We've done all we can. We've stood up here and talked, and we've prayed, and we've tried to give folks the Word of God, but somewhere along the way, the Holy Spirit has to deal with somebody's heart about salvation. So if somebody needs that, Lord, I pray today they'd step out and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number plays, and like I said, the Bible is filled with details. Many of those details you are supposed to grapple with and grasp. Yet once in a while, the Lord gives us a little simplistic course of high points. That's what this was this morning. He appointed several of these men to come along in the Word of God and say, look, at these various junctures in life, there's this one thing. One thing befalls all men. Everybody dies. One thing may be lacking that sends somebody to hell forever and ever and ever. The blind man says, look, there's a lot of stuff I don't know, but this one thing I do know. I was blind, and now I see. You have a testimony, right? Do you have a testimony? Can you say, there was a day that I walked in darkness, and I was in sin and dead in sin. But I know today I am not. For I know that there was a day when Jesus Christ removed my sin. I mean, folks, you need to know that. There's one thing you should know. And folks, if you're a Christian, I know there's 1,000 instructions in the Christian life. There literally are 1,000. It can all be boiled down to one thing. You need to forget those things which are behind, the failures, the fallings. And you need to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You need to go forward with it. I want you to know that only one thing is needful, really, once you get saved. And that the most needful thing is not about taxes. It's not about even prayer. It's about you sitting at Jesus Christ's feet and hearing the Word of God. That one thing is needful. That one thing Jesus Christ is not interested in being taken away from you. And you need to not be ignorant of this one thing. Things have not always continued as they are now. I want you to know they will not always continue as they are now. Jesus Christ is coming back. And I want you to know Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Now, I believe He's coming back soon on anybody's timetable, mine and yours. But I want you to know for His, it's soon. 2 days ago, 2,000 years ago, only 2 days to Him, He promised to be back. It's only been 2 days. It's a long time for us because we're mortal. But it's only 2 days for Him. Don't lose faith in God because you're impatient. God knows what He's doing. Now, Father, thank You for Your goodness. We pray You dismiss us with Your blessings here this morning. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for providing for all these things You have for us, all the detail, but also all the high points, Lord, where You can be. These things can be summarized and absorbed and nourish us. We pray that You will bless as we go now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed this morning. Folks, looking forward to seeing you tonight at 6:30, or 6 o'clock, rather. 6:30. Don't show up at 6:30.